So this, in this devotion, is just a challenge because it just says that it talks about this area.
Oh, thanks. Oh, this, I didn't know I was to record this. Oh, good. Oh, yeah, sure, it's fine. So it just says there. Sometimes there can be some overwhelming intimidation, insecurity, doubt, things that we fight. So this is a challenge. It says, what if Moses ran from the burning bush? What if Noah didn't build the ark? What if Gideon didn't push past doubt? What if David didn't slay the giant? What if Esther didn't approach the king? What if Elijah backed down from the showdown? What if Abraham didn't have any sons? What if Mary rejected the Holy Spirit? What if John didn't prepare people's hearts through baptism? And so each person would have had the choice to retreat, but chose not to. And so, you know, we do get these challenges, especially in the session that we're just in about that pioneer spirit with radical ideas that we are going to be anticipating. But we always get the choice. And so there's usually the things that we can try to step over. And, you know, I feel like when people enter into mentoring, it's actually a risk. I feel the same when people come to sessions to learn about the prophetic, or it takes some courage to step over because they have to begin to see themselves as a person that is capable of growing in areas. And we have a lot of intimidation that comes with that. And I expect that any time that we're giving those opportunities, I know that I'm actually praying for people ahead of time, just that they'll have courage, that they'll have just the strength to be able to step into those things. But I just thought it would be more interesting to, you know, I always feel you can get content, you can read books, you can get it from the internet. There's a lot of things about content that can give you nice slides that talk about main points, etc., etc. But I like the experiential part of it. And so that's why I thought, sure, I'll do this workshop, but I want to have people join in and talk about the experience. So I guess it's more of a storytelling event that way. But let's do that and just sort of hear. And I don't know, who do you think should start?
Glenn.
Yeah, I think you should start too, Glenn. Uh-huh. You know, Glenn's very precise in his time, and he's already timed his session, and he's way more, even though I mentored him, he did not get that tight timeline from me.
I didn't get it from her either.
I like the fluid part of it. I was mentored a little bit by Keith Hazel, if you guys would have known or known of him back in the day. He was very fluid. You never really knew what you were doing until you got to the event, and that included going to 2 days of, he called it Under the Radar in Lethbridge, and you just never knew what was going to happen. But it was, I think I still have that part of me that likes the unknown. So anyway, we know that Glenn, in taking over coordination of Prophetic at Harvest City, he likes to be a bit more organized. So that's probably a good thing, right, for the group. So go ahead, Glenn, and we'll give you some time. We're just going into lunch after, so for a couple of minutes over, it doesn't really matter.
So I brought my phone to make sure that I'm kind of sticking to the time. So.
Good job, Glenn.
Good job.
Okay, so I actually kind of felt that I wanted to just give a little bit of a story. It's going to be probably a 12-minute story of just kind of how I came to know the Lord, because I think everything that has happened in my life has really kind of led to where I am today. So just kind of condensed version. So I actually didn't come to know Jesus, my Savior, not until about 20 years ago. When I was in my early 20s, I grew up Catholic, so I knew about Jesus, but had the belief in Jesus. And so, you know, growing up, you know, my parents would take us to church and did all that. But then by the time I was grade 3, grade 4, it was kind of like, going to church is kind of boring, right? And it was just like too much resistance from me and my sister, so my parents just kind of stopped, and we just kind of went on our merry way, right? Like, I believed in God, I was baptized, all that. I was going to heaven, I was good, right? So went through elementary school, high school, and post-secondary education. And then probably about 20 years ago, probably around this time, I don't know what it was, I just actually got the urge that I need to get back into going to church. I don't know what it was, but I felt I had that urge. And so, but I had no plans to leave the Catholic Church, because that's what I was raised in, right? And so I'm from Regina, and so I'd called around to about 3 or 4 Catholic churches because I wanted to get into a church that had things for young people. And so I'd phoned to some churches, and they had nothing really for young people. And actually, one church even said to me, hey, would you want to lead a Bible study? And I'm like, I'm calling you out of the blue, and you want me to lead a Bible study? And so I'm like, okay, well, I thought I should probably think outside the box. And so let me remember what a phone book is. Anybody remember what a phone book is? Raise your hand. So I thought I'd just think outside the box. And what I did was I actually just opened up the phone book to yellow pages to churches. And Harvest City caught my eye, and I think the only reason why it caught my eye was because it was a picture ad, right? It was like a little picture. I was like, well, that's a pretty good church if they can afford a picture ad, right? Like advertisement, right? And so I phoned them up, and I was like, yeah, like I'll check it out. So they said I could come down and check it out, and went to a couple of services. I liked it. I enjoyed it. And so I started coming. But I always saw myself still as a Catholic going to a non-Catholic church. That's what I saw myself as. And so I started taking the newcomers class, which I guess now is called the connections class. And it was just kind of a 12-week course into about the basics of Christianity, the basics of the church. And so about three quarters into the course, probably like week 10 or 9, we actually had Pastor Dave teaching that class. And it was actually the prophetic, or not the prophetic, the gifts of the Spirit. So, you know, like tongues, prophecy, being baptized in the Spirit, and all this stuff was foreign to me, right? Like, I heard those terms, but didn't know what it was. And so during his talk, he was just talking about people who were baptized in the Spirit, speaking tongues, stuff like that. And I remember back in mind, I was like, that's cool, but not for me. Like, just not for me. And so at the end of the night, he had asked who'd want prayer to receive the Holy Spirit. And it was one of those things where I didn't even think of it, but I shot my hand up. And immediately, it was Pastor David and another gentleman from our church. The minute they laid their hands on me, the Holy Spirit just fell on me. And I had that experience of Jesus. And it was almost kind of like, you know, like Saul on the Damascus Road. Like, he had that experience of Jesus, and then he believed, right? So I think it was happened almost at the same time, the Spirit plus that conversion experience as well, too. And so that was kind of the beginning of my journey. Now, hear my heart. I'm not saying that Catholics aren't saved. I'm not saying that at all. Okay. I'm just saying, from my perspective, I needed to get out of the Catholic Church in order to, you know, come to a saving knowledge of Jesus. Yeah. And so about a year after I became a believer, this was about 2005, I remember going up for prayer after service, like an altar call. And one of the guys who came and prophesied over me, he actually used to be on the prophetic team, like Brian Danchuk, he started praying for me, and he immediately kind of said to me, you have a prophetic gift. And at that point, I was like, thanks, but no thanks kind of thing. Like, I didn't say it to him, well, I was like, yeah, I'm not, that's not me, right? And so, no, it was more so because whenever I thought of prophetic, it was like medium, psychics, you know, end of times. You know, that's what I always thought prophecy was. And so over the course of probably 2 years, I had people give me that prophetic word, you know, that I have a prophetic gift, I have a prophetic mantle and all that. And every time I rejected that word, because I'm like, that's not me. I'm not a prophetic person. I don't want that gift. And probably I even said that, I don't want that gift. And so fast forward to about 2007, summer of 2007, actually, it's funny because Gianni kind of mentioned about doing a booth in the trade show. So we actually set up a booth. I guess in Regina, we have Buffalo Days, which now is Queen City X, the summer exhibition. So we set up a booth in the middle of the trade show. And what it was an evangelism booth and a prophetic, but I think they call it like Know Your Destiny booth, which is basically people would come in and share a word. I've got a prophetic word over you. Or you can go to the other booth, which is the evangelism booth, which is leading people to Jesus. And so here we are in this environment of, you know, psychics, mediums, probably, you know, crystal people, you know, all of that in that environment. So when Johnny said that at last session, I was like, oh, that's kind of familiar. And so it's kind of funny because at that point, I thought, I'm probably an evangelist. That's my gifting, right? So I ended up signing up for the evangelism booth. Because I'm like, well, I'm an evangelist. That's my gifting. And so about a week before the event, Brian again came up to me and he's like, well, here's a schedule for the prophetic booth that you're on. And I kind of gave him a weird look. I'm like, well, I signed up for the evangelism booth. And he's like, well, no, the prophetic booth. And so we almost had like this back and forth argument, like yes, no, yes, no, yes, no kind of thing. And finally he kind of said, well, if you want to switch over to the back to the evangelist booth, I can. And I was about to, but something kind of stopped me. Mm-hmm. And I was like, hey, what if all those prophetic words over 2 years that this gifting, what if it actually is true? And so I thought, okay, I'll just give it a shot. I'll just stick with it. At least I can say that I tried. So I would say that my words weren't exactly eloquent, or maybe I probably gave one-word prophecies. But I think what that helped me to realize is, I think, yes, I do have this prophetic gift. And it's interesting because I kind of feel that that was almost God's last. Because I know that I know that I signed up for that evangelism. I know that I did.
Yeah.
But I think God needed to do something, almost like give me a kick in the pants, so to speak, for me to kind of make that connection. I have a feeling that that might have been my last shot, so to speak, right? I think if I wouldn't have listened, I think that I wouldn't be where I am now, is my thought on it. So anyway, so after that, I ended up taking the Introduction to Prophetic workshop that Diane ran at Harvest City, started getting immersed in prophetic, and then I did the intermediate course, you know, which is, you know, more in-depth training. And I don't know, Diane saw something in me that obviously I didn't see in myself, because it was kind of like she started giving me opportunities of prophesying in different environments, whether it was life groups, whether it was, you know, just different ministry opportunities. And I kind of remember the first time that we did our in-between service, it might have been like 2010, 2011, something like that. And I remember she had me on that first Sunday, and I thought to myself, why is she asking me to be on a team when, like, there's probably a million other more seasoned people? Like, I'm just getting into the prophetic, right? So that's the thing. Like we never really had an official, I think, mentor-mentee relationship. But every opportunity Diane gave me, I said yes to. Every time she wanted to meet and give me some pointers or just some advice about prophetic, I took those opportunities. I said yes to those opportunities. And so I just want to thank Diane, because like she obviously saw something in me that I didn't necessarily see in myself. Mm-hmm. And then for the fact that for the past two and a half years, I've been overseeing a ministry, the prophetic at Harvest City, like that's a testament to God first. But I think Diane just kind of seeing something in me. But I wanted to also mention the importance of kind of working through your issues as you are leading a ministry or getting involved in a ministry. Because my natural bend in life is I'm a very quiet, reserved, I'm an introverted person. Like, I'll be honest with you, to have to be in a group of people, that stresses me out. Being in this environment really, really stresses me out because I'm like too many people. And so that's why I kind of like having the break from like 2 to 7 because it's like, okay, I can like decompress a little bit. But anyway, what I've done also is I've worked on myself by taking various inner healing courses, whether it's Genesis, whether it's Cleansing Stream, or whether it's just asking for prayer when I need it. Because I realize if I'm a person that can't talk to people or who struggles with talking to people, how can I ever be involved in a ministry that actually talks to people? And so, yes, it's great, and I think it's very important to have that mentorship from a leader as you grow in a ministry, as you grow in the calling God has for you. But I also feel that it's just as important to have mentorship in working on your stuff, on working on your struggles. Because when we're a more stronger, more healed, so to speak, person, I think we're that much more effective in the ministry that God called us into. So that has been, foremost, probably the biggest I think win for me in the whole mentoring and the whole relationship and the whole even multiplication of the conference of learning prophetic is learning to deal with my stuff so that when I in turn can help out my team as well to who might be struggling with confidence issues, self-esteem issues that I've had to work through. So that's a bit of my story. Thanks for sharing or thanks for listening in 11 minutes. So
good job.
I cut a minute off.
just before before Jen comes up, I am going to say, in terms of it, actually, even though I guess I was officially working to help Glenn, there was a team of prophetic leaders at Harvest City, and so he had input not just from me, but from others. But the thing that I saw in Glenn would be, I mean, I knew he had an introverted personality, but Glenn would never say no. And it didn't matter what I knew situations were not easy for him to step into, but he'd never say no. And I really admired that. I thought, okay, like that, this is a person willing to push past what their natural, you know, inhibitions are. And I really saw that in him. And I felt like every time that he was saying yes, I could see growth begin to happen. But then a couple of years ago, he started working on some of his leadership skills. So that's when I think you came into the AMP program. I'm not sure when that was, maybe 3 years ago or whenever it was. So he was working on leadership skills through the AMP program, which is the LifeLinks leadership training program. So he was just registered. I think it started in September. So we were in October, we're in church, and first week or whatever in October, we walk into church. Glenn comes across the room, shakes my hand, and wishes me happy Thanksgiving. And I thought, something changed. He would never have walked across the room to make himself do something that was uncomfortable. I thought, okay, this is a win. He's in. This guy is in, because he was pushing past those areas. And I think that the thing is that in terms of God's plan, when you just take one step forward, the Holy Spirit's meeting you on the other side. So I don't think any of us had full vision of what God was going to do, but I just believe now there's just no stopping what God's going to do, because he said yes. He's worked on us on some of those things. So awesome. So my job was just to give him opportunities. He did the odd time complain that I was throwing him into situations, but again, he didn't say no, so he got thrown in. Give us a little bit different perspective.
Story.
Sure. Different story. You lived a little further away.
I did live. Yeah, I am from Cranbrook, from Connect Church. My first impression of Diane, can I share that?
I don't remember.
Diane and Todd and Megan and Justin came to Cranbrook.
Yes. Oh, sure.
And I grew up Salvation Army, the prophetic, speaking in tongues, baptism, the Holy Spirit. We talk about the Holy Spirit-ish. But none of this existed in the Salvation Army world, and my husband grew up Presbyterian. Same thing. So here comes Todd and Diane and Megan and Justin. I remember my husband leaning over to me and saying something like, what is she, a fortune teller or something? And I just was like, I don't know. Like, I don't know what this is. And so we listened intently. And by the end of your teaching, Diane, we were hooked. We were like, okay, like the Holy Spirit clearly is using this to do something great. And by the end of the weekend, like Justin had prophesied words over my husband that we're living today. We had built the what I would say now is the beginning of a beautiful friendship. And I hope you don't take this the wrong way, but Diane has really become a spiritual grandmother to me and to Adam. Todd has become, I get emotional, a spiritual grandfather to us. I want to speak relationally to how Todd and Diane have mentored my husband and I. But it was about 2011, we were at camp and there was some prophetic words happening. I think Diane had gone to the front and really proclaimed a word. And I remember going to her in the dining hall and saying, Diane, I think I have a prophetic gift. And her just looking me in the eyes and confirming, yes, Jen, yes, you do have a prophetic gift. And I want to help you to strengthen that. And that was, 12, 13 years ago. And that was a real defining moment for me, that a leader in LifeLinks looked me in the eye and said, yes, you do. And I'm going to help you to define that call in your life. I felt seen and I felt heard. And Diane made a real commitment to relationship, but also relationship to our church. That was important. She didn't just mentor me, but she mentored Jody as well. And then in turn, we were able to take that mentorship and feed it into our church. And what Diane, one thing that I really value about Diane is she's taught me, I don't lead our prophetic team at Connect Church. Jody does that. But Diane has taught me to take my gifts of the Spirit, which my, you know, in AMP we do the gifts. My top gift is the exhortation of the Word. And Diane has taught me to be very confident in hearing the voice of God and being able to exhort that into the church and exhort God's words and prophetic insight and Scripture and the what He wants to speak in the moment of Scripture into the church. And she has done that in many ways. One of them is just being an example of exhortation. And then the other one is just she would call me out. I remember she called me one day, and it's the opportunity thing. And I encourage you to take pieces of how Diane mentors, because it's so organic and so relational, to take what you hear today and implement it into your teams and implement what you learn into the people that you work with. And so she gave me the opportunity. She called me one day. She said, Jen, we're doing, I think it was a call for women in leadership at LifeLinks. Will you give the exhortation? And I remember thinking, like, I am just this small girl from Cranbrook. Like, I'm on our leadership team, but I'm just this, you know, I don't know why we see women like Diane and Val and Amanda Eicher, and we see these women and we're like, oh, they're like awesome women of God. And she called on me to give the exhortation, and I felt really intimidated. But she just, it was, Diane, it was your words of encouragement. Jen, like, I know that you're the person for this. I know God's going to give you a word. I know you're going to speak a great exhortation. The morning of, texting me, are you ready? How are you feeling about it? And so having that opportunity and just seeing how God came through and God gave the word of exhortation, God delivered the word of exhortation, was awesome. So I am with Glenn in that Diane just really organically gave opportunities to use the gifts that we had. Another opportunity she gave me that I felt was so over my head. I don't remember which Asian country it was.
Vietnam.
She said, this is what you need to know about Diane. Oh, Jen, we're just doing this prophetic thing. We're just praying over some people in Vietnam. Would you hop on Zoom? Yeah. How many people were on that call, Diane?
30.
No, it was more than 30. It felt like 10,000 to me, but it was a lot. But I remember sitting there thinking, like, I'm just this small girl from Cranbrook. Like, I'm just this aunt. But Diane saw something in me. And I remember the Lord, like, bubbling up a word in me to share with these leaders from Vietnam, and me being just like, so it's out of a fleshly experience. You're like, okay, I'm just going to do this. But because Diane had called me out and built me up, then when I had this word for people in Vietnam, it was like, yeah, God has given me authority in this place to speak these words. And Diane just really encouraged me in that to say yes. And then the other opportunity that really meant a lot to me was Diane inviting me to travel with her. And you brought me, it was Lethbridge. We went to Lethbridge together. And I mean, in Connect, I'm leading the leaders, right? I'm teaching the classes. And when I went with Diane, it was back to being a student and just sitting and watching and learning. And that experience was so valuable. And I think what I learned from that experience is, no matter where we are in leadership, we have to remember that we always need to be malleable and teachable. Mm-hmm. And it was a humbling experience to be back in the student position. I kept like waiting for Diane to give me an opportunity, but I was there just to learn. I was there to experience. But because she has invited me along in her teaching so many times, I am fairly confident I could take Diane's teaching into a church in the East Kootenai or wherever, and I could offer her course. I could offer her teaching because she took me alongside of her so many times. And there's so much value, I think I said it, but I'll say it again, in just being a relational mentor to the people that you're with. And Diane lives in Regina, I live in Cranbrook, but she is so, so relational. The other piece, there's so many pieces, but one of the most important, I mentioned that Todd and Diane really became like spiritual grandparents to Adam and I, and there's a lost, culture right now where we don't respect and honor our elders. We don't respect and honor, I'm going to call you the gray hairs because I don't know what else to call you, But there's been our culture. I'll speak for the millennials because that's what I am. The millennials don't honor and respect the elders. They don't honor and respect those who have gone before generationally and prepared the way. And Todd and Diane just so gently reminded my husband and I of the importance of just sitting and listening to what the elders have to speak. And the most valuable part of our relationship was just, it's always in our home, your home or our home. And Diane and Todd always make time. They were just in Cranbrook. Diane was exhausted from prophesying and doing ministry. But it was like as soon as she came in our front door, you know, I always beg her to stay with us because why wouldn't you want to? And we always just, you know, we have a snack and we sit on the couch and it's just such a blessing to just listen to Diane tell the stories and Todd tell the stories. And it's a lost art. And, you know, if you look at like our First Nations people, the storytelling is so important and we need to bring that back into our churches. We need to hear from our elders, and Todd and Diane do such an organic and beautiful job. And that was probably the most valuable piece of my mentorship experience is just sharing life with them and just hearing the stories and laughing and drinking a little bit of wine while we do that. There's just one more piece in that, honoring the generations. This year, something really cool happened in Cranbrook. We had a woman join our church, and for some reason, she's just, like, attracted to me. And, you know, in leadership, sometimes when people get attracted to you, your response is like this. Like, you want to keep them. But there was something attracting me back to her, and she said, Jen, can we go for coffee? I really want to share something with you. I said, yeah, okay. So we meet for coffee, and she said, I have this prophetic word from, I think it was 1991 or something, like, early. And I feel like it's coming into the time that Cranbrook is supposed to live this prophetic word. This woman is amazing. She has kept like the most valuable record of prophetic words spoken in and over Cranbrook since about 1985. And so she reads me this word and it's hitting home. It is for Cranbrook and it's deliberate. And I said to her, oh man, do you remember the prophet? Like, do you remember the person who came in and spoke this word? And she goes, oh, let me look here. She goes, some man by the name of Keith Hazel.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was like, oh, like the value of mentorship. Yeah. Who mentored Diane? Yeah. Keith Hazel. And I got in my car and I'm like, Diane, you're never going to believe this. I just received a word from Keith Hazel. Like,
yeah.
And she goes, This is incredible. And that it's that inherit. We have to remember how valuable the inheritance of the kingdom is. And I'm so grateful for the inheritance of mentorship from Diane. And that mentorship has only come because of Keith's mentorship into her. And so I'll wrap it up because I can preach. But she offered me relationship and mentorship. She's always available. Organic prophetic words. Diane constantly, she'll call me and say, "Oh, I just feel like Jen, you should get a credit card that that you can collect air miles on because you're going to be traveling." Okay, I'll do that. But like when you're in relationship with Diane, you almost have to like catch the prophetic because she's so organic in the prophetic, and That's all. I just am so, I so value you, Diane, and your mentorship.
There's some great fun things that you get to learn over time, but at camp, that would be because Jen was in Cranbrook, and so when we're at Glacier Park, Lifelinks Camp, that's usually where I'm trying to gather some of the prophetic people together. So one of the first years that we were setting people up on teams like we did yesterday afternoon, Jen was on a team, but we didn't give this instruction at that time. Now we have more, because of everything that would be out of control, it's when we then after that would say, we have a new set of guidelines. And that's sort of how all of the practices that we have in the prophetic happened. But anyway, so Jen was on a team, so we didn't give the guideline of no double dipping. Like, in other words, you get to go to the person you're assigned to. You don't get to come around and back again. But somebody had come around back to the group that Jen was in, And so she tells me this afterwards. She said, I was so puzzled. She goes, this person, she didn't realize she'd been in another group. And so she says, all the word, the only thing I have for you is God spoke. So I just thought that was
so awkward.
I know, but I just thought it was so good. And I thought, you know, I love the fact that she didn't feel like she had to cushion a word or make it sound really nice for her. Like, it was just truth, and it is what the woman needed to hear. So I really loved that. But we, you know, it's a privilege when we get to go to a church that does not have any prophetic history or development, because you get to actually start to raise people up where they don't have bad practice to undo. And so that's how it was in Cranbrook. And that's been really, really nice. Not that we're in workshops, I'm open to people coming in that maybe haven't had opportunity to ever get a healthy prophetic model. But I also, it depends on their heart. Sometimes when people have cut their teeth in bad practice, they don't want to be part of a team. So there's a couple things that we really look for is the area of servanthood. And really talk about this area that, you know, a prophetic gift is just the same as somebody that maybe is called for a work of helps, the janitors, any other maintenance gift like that. Mm-hmm. It's not a superior gift. And so the way that we sort of bring that forward in people is that there is to be servanthood, because prophetic can be inconvenient. And so those would be things that I would look for in somebody that I felt wanted to be raised up. Are they willing to come a little bit early, stack a few chairs? And over time, honestly, some of the most gifted people that aren't able to see themselves as team players, they go someplace else, because they're only interested in building up their own ministry. So we sort of try to work that out right away. But I'm just going to go through a couple of things in notes that I thought would be important to share. And I think some of the things have come out. I thought when I was sort of not fading away, but let's say handing over the, even though I'm still in the Harvest City leadership team, I thought that full-time mentoring is what I would do. So I sort of started into a formal mentoring plan, arrangements. I had some people contact me. This was before the formal mentoring wasn't as formal. I guess I'd done a little. I had done scripted mentoring before, where you had your guidelines, you had your checkups. I didn't really love it because of sort of the style. I like to be a little bit more organic and just, you know, I don't always like to just have to fill out a form at every 2 months to say how well the person, you know, developed or whatever.
I meant to talk about my AMP experience.
Oh, yeah, okay. So, well, you can say that now.
Diane would open the AMP binder and Diane would go, okay, check, 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 5 minutes. Let's talk about the prophetic. It was my favorite. It was the best.
I know. I was just thinking, of course.
Oh, no, Ian's
here. Of course, Ian had to come in at that point. I know. That's what I thought. Oh, no. And then I'd say...
I still graduated with honors.
Yeah. I know, but I'd say, okay, Jen, I'm not really paying attention to this part of it, so if you have something you need me to look at, you better send it my way. And I said, truthfully, you've got all the organizational skills, etc., so just tell me when I need to duck in at certain points. But one of the things that I really discovered, I'll just backtrack a little bit, but I tried to open things up for mentoring, and I did that for just a period of time. I felt like that's what God wanted me to do. But what I learned in that is a couple things. And one is that mentoring, how it's going to work well for me is that it has to be people that sort of have my same DNA. So people from other streams, let's say that aren't in sort of the LifeLinks network, they really have to have the same kind of heart for us to work well together. Because I did try a couple of people that I would say, you know, they didn't have this exposure, they didn't have quite the same heart. And I felt like that sort of became like a job. Like it was like, this would be like what a professional mentor would have to do. And I'm more about the heart. I want to see legacy. I want to see, you know, like has been said with how we came into a prophetic network, I really want to see that, that I guess, spill over into the next generations and into the people that keep the heart first, because it's the heart of Jesus that I really feel needs to be reflected in people all the time, and how you treat people. Sometimes I've seen bad practice where prophetic people act like the receiver is so lucky to have them. And I just really despise that kind of thinking, because it really takes away the idea of, you know what, this is a serving gift, and this is what we've been given. And so we want to stay in that realm. And so that's one of the things I sort of look for now, is just it has to be people that I really feel have some of the same DNA, because I only have so much time. And my biggest focus is actually building culture in churches. So to take individuals, I'm interested in working with leaders, prophetic leaders primarily. And so what we do now is, as we're raising up prophetic culture in churches, if there's a designated leader, that's who I want to work with. And so the mentoring, I would say, is more informal. But one of the things that I feel God's given me is, you know, before I was saved in high school, our house was across the street from our high school. So I had coffee parties all the time, just fill the house. You know, there's five girls in our household. My mom was a working mother, and people would say to my mom all the time, "You're so lucky to have these girls to be so helpful to you." And I thought, are you kidding? There was coffee cups all over. All we ever did was socialize in our place. But I thought I was actually a great counselor. I used to give advice to people all the time. So that coffee around the table, I'd be just giving advice. People would phone me for advice. And so I went into sort of my adulthood thinking I actually was a really good counselor, until I found out, no, that probably was an undeveloped prophetic gift, but that is nowhere near a counseling gift that, you know, sort of helps people take steps forward. But I feel like, sort of like, I don't know if you guys remember back in the day, the Dear Abby column, you know, where people would write in for advice. So that's sort of what I do now in the prophetic, is just people, when they write, email me, tell me their problems, it's like, okay, this is how you should handle it. And so that's a fun, it's a real, something real that you're working with, and then we work together to figure it out. So in terms of mentoring, there's just a couple of things. The relationship has to be there. If it's somebody new, there has to be some time given to the personal relationship. And I know that there's different ways of doing it, but it's just sort of getting to know people, because there's a couple parts to that. People are not going to tell you their fears or their failures unless you have relationship with them and that they can trust you. So one of the things that I try to do is I talk a lot about mistakes, and that might sound odd, but if I share my mistakes, which, you know, I have a few, I have to say, over the years, but especially developing in the prophetic, that actually just gives an open door for people to share what really is going on with them. And I really feel that's a key thing, that right away we just sort of have that openness. Is okay, we're going to work through this together, or we're learning this together. But we have to have that kind of honesty, because otherwise you can spend a lot of time just glossing around, never getting to the heart of the matter. And also in that time, I feel a big responsibility is just to really be encouraging and identifying people in terms of how great their gifting is, or how much capacity they have, because it's easier for me to see that. And I had it pulled out in me. If I wouldn't have had leaders talk to me about that, you have this in you, I didn't, like Glenn said, I didn't really get it. I was just sort of walking along, had this gift that I didn't really like that much at the beginning either, because I didn't know what to do with it. And so I really think that that's crucial. We have to be able to have vision for the person that we're working with, more vision than they do for their own life, because we have to, it's a progressive vision, but we need to be speaking. And I think it's at different times. It's not everything all at once, but you start to identify, you know what, you could actually be really good at this, and then take another step and another step like that. And, you know, all the time we're just trusting God, but it gives me me a sense. It's like in prophetic building, I tap people on the shoulder to say, you know what, I think you have a prophetic gift, and then invite them into some prophetic development training. Because that's part, like, sometimes you can have the idea that a prophetic person just can prophesy in certain settings, and it actually can be, this is my life. This is who I am. So whether I'm planning for a certain setting or not, I'm shoulder tapping. I'm thinking of how things can be developed. So it's sort of like in that last session when they're talking about that pioneering spirit. I'm thinking of opportunities, especially now in the network. And even just since coming here, I know Eileen is, I know she's an artist. I know she's a prophetic artist. I talk to people, the prophetic artists. It's a hard call to know exactly what to do with that.
Yeah.
And yet the connection that they can have together, that can really shape into something. And I'm sort of jealous for Lifelinks that we do get more diversity in our gifts. So another thing with mentoring that I really try to do is to encourage people in the flavor of the type of gift that they have, that they're not trying to all become like me, like Jen, like Glenn, that we're just helping them discover the flavor of their gifting. So what I mean by that is that you could be, your flavor could be prophetic evangelist. It could be that. It could be prophetic teacher. It could be prophetic intercessor, more the watchman type mantle. Well, there's not really that many prophetic pastors, I should say that, when I'm thinking about the fivefold calling. But because I wouldn't consider myself pastoral except with prophetic people. I'm very pastoral because I'm jealous for their success.
Yeah.
So that, I think, is another part in terms of mentoring, is the communication of how much I want to see them succeed. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I worked, it was all men on our prophetic leadership team for quite a long time. Not that I didn't love having women on board, but they were at the stage of life where they were just so busy raising their kids or just had, you know, just lots of other stuff going on. But I feel that it was a win to be able to mentor like really to work with that group of men. And the reason why was just because they knew I was for them.
Yeah.
They knew I wanted to see them successful and that there was no competition here.
Yeah.
And there's no competition because in the prophetic realm, especially as we discover our flavor, there's room for all of us.
Yeah.
And, you know, some gifts are harder to mentor or whatever than others. And like, for example, dreamers, those that primarily hear God the best through dreams. And the reason why it's harder is because those dreams have to be interpreted. They have to be processed. They have to be prayed through and then figuring out, hey, what is this, just a call for prayer? What is the action to go with this? And so what we did then for a while is we actually had a dream group where it was where people that would come together and they would process. I have real vision for flavors of groups. So like I'm hoping that I'm hoping that Eileen goes forward with a prophetic artist group that's available on our Lifelinks as a Facebook page. But there's also prophetic intercession, which I feel there are groups, and I feel like Todd really is called in that way. Kathy is another one, Larry's wife, Kathy. But there's pockets. But I want more. I want to see the women, or not the women necessarily, the people are going to raise up prophetic kids and help them work through their gifts. I want to see those that really will spend the disciplined time to, I feel we should be working with our police. And I've felt that I've had some meetings that just haven't been able to take forward, because when there's missing children, when there's abductions,
right,
when there's the Amber Alerts, I really feel like, okay, you know, the police do actually go to psychics at different times or somebody where they can get information. And there's an openness there if we can just take that on to do that. And I've heard testimony, and this was a few years ago, and this was actually in one of the sessions at Bethel. Glenn and a few of us others went to the School of Prophets for a week a while ago. That's how we got to know Jeff Barnhart, and he became our
our biggest irritation on that trip. If you don't know Jeff, he's visually blind, but you wouldn't know that if you just met him. But he would walk behind us and deliberately hit like a sign in the parking lot, like he'd bang it with his hands, but you'd think he'd run into it. I've seen him take a guitar case and throw it down the stairs where people would think he's fallen down the stairs and just be panicking. He's very bad that way. But anyway, at Bethel, in the session that they were talking about, they had had success. There was an abduction, and I can't remember if it was one child, but they had basically, in 3 hours of time coming together, they had the license plate and they had part of the name of the abductors. And so I'm thinking, you know what? God wants to gift us and equip us in so many different ways if we can just hear what our calling is and let that be developed. So I really like to be able to, I think, put challenges before people, but it's built on relationship. I really try to not stifle people's giftings. And, you know, I want to just say this. We can start. Prophetic doesn't always start out smooth. There are people that are quite rough in the area. I feel I was very rough. I would just feel the Holy Spirit come on me. One of the times I remember being in a house church meeting, really feeling like this man was just having, that it wasn't going to go well for him if he didn't make some really good decisions. But so we're praying, prophesying, and I was like banging him on the back as prophesying until my husband finally took my hand away. And so, you know, there's etiquette things. I thought, okay, now we need to learn etiquette in the prophetic. But I understand both parts of it. I understand as the intensity sometimes of what you're feeling from the Holy Spirit, as well as how you can learn to be received. One of the things that I differ a lot from some of the prophetic teaching that's out there, there's teaching that really talks about, unless you're really challenging people, unless you're really in their face almost and speaking prophecies that are really strong, they feel like you're really backing off of what your role should be in strong prophetic gifting or as a prophet. And I really disagree with that, because I feel like we need to learn some good communication skills, and that prophecy has to be received. Like, it's a two-way street with prophecy. And so we need to be able to handle ourselves in ways that can be received. One of the things that in mentoring that I like people to be able to grab onto is, no matter what setting that we come into, that we're able to adjust and work within that setting. So, for example, if we go into another church and their guideline is that they ahead of time like to have the theme of a prophecy that's going to be given, and they sort of do a little quick interview with you or whatever, what's the theme of the prophecy, you shouldn't be reactive to that. Mm-hmm. They have got the responsibility to protect the whole, all the sheep. Yeah. Yeah. And so we need to be flexible and bend that way. It's not going to kill us to have to, you know, it's not an insult. It's just practical. We just need to be able to adjust to how things need to be shaped. So I really also have vision that we should be able to be different times. We've only done this not a lot for maybe, I don't know, maybe about 3 businesses. But I actually believe that prophetically we should be giving input to people that are Christian businesses, working with people. And it's not for everybody in that realm. We have gone to Parliament they were supposed to be gathering a group of MPs for us to prophesy over. We actually only ended up, I think, with one, and then prophesying. We did a recording. But, you know, we want to be just flexible with the Holy Spirit, because there's just, we need to impact our world. Like, I wouldn't say that I'm a prophetic evangelist, but I am jealous to see the prophetic infiltrate every area around us, which I really like about these speakers, especially this last session, just to really be able to see. I mean, how many people can get up there and say they visualize people on the catwalk, and then their son is a model. But, you know, we want people to be able to infiltrate and make a difference. The flavor should come across in our society. So that would be sort of my heart, I think, in in mentoring. I think probably the best thing that I do is bring people along with the opportunities that I have. And so, you get a call. Again, it's a test. It's 5 o'clock in the morning. It was like a couple weeks before, Dave Wells called, said, okay, Diane, next week I need a few people to prophesy over, or I'm doing a men's conference in Vietnam. Can you come prophesy for that? So it's, and you know what, it's like you do, if you really want to think in the natural, you are wondering, because like a lot of those faces look the same, right? And I always have this story in my mind of Keith Hazel going to Taiwan. He prophesied over this guy one night. The next night, the same guy he thought was back in the chair, but he had a totally different word. And he was struggling with that. Like, I just prophesied over this guy, but he went with what he heard, which was the opposite type of a prophetic word. And then he found out after, it was the guy's identical twin. And they had sort of set him up as a bit of a test to just sort of see. So all of a sudden we get Vietnam, and these faces look very much the same. And then by the time I think we did the women's, I don't know, about 8 of them had the name Philadelphia under for their names. And so I'm thinking, okay, what's going on here? You couldn't call out Philadelphia like 8 times. But anyway, it was just, it is in the other cultures, like they choose names from usually the U.S. or whatever. Like we've had students named Patton and, pick out names they know from the history books. And so anyway, it was challenging. But the thing is, it was during COVID. They were so confined, and so, they just needed to hear words of just to help them get through that time. They were barely able to leave buildings to maybe get out for some food. So it's what happens is it shifts from, I don't know if we're going to be able to do this, to, these people need to hear from God so much that we just begin to change our heart. God, use us to pour into their lives. And so then that becomes a win always, like that. Okay. I think there's, a few things that have come up, but I will just mention this area of, in mentoring, you have to be prepared to give feedback. And it's something that I find leaders that I'm working with, some of them really, we just sort of have a negative connotation sometimes for feedback, but feedback helps us grow. Mm-hmm. And so there's a model, of course, we've heard the sandwich psychology, mm-hmm. positive, negative, positive. Mm-hmm. So I use that. But the big thing that I've learned is you have to have a concrete example. If you're wanting to give feedback to someone, you have to have you've got to have evidence, because if you skirt around it and try to explain it, they don't understand. You have to have an example, and then you can work with that example. But of course, your heart is for them, so it's only to help them in the future. So one of the examples of this would be giving feedback. One of the guys prophesying called somebody he was prophesying over a nerd. Well, that really wasn't the best, right? So you just have to watch your. I mean, it wasn't earth shaking, but. But depending on the age that you are, you have to be careful with some of your language. Another one of the guys was calling women like a bubba. Maybe to him that was a motherly type term, but I mean, that would be downright insulting if somebody called me a bubba, right? I think of somebody with a kerchief and, certain ethnicities and stuff. So anyway, we just want to work around refinement. But one of the people that I'm working with that leads a team, I'm just going to give a concrete example. Now, this is being recorded. I'm just trying to think. I'm not sure. I don't know. Are people having the whole access to all the workshops? Anybody know?
Yeah, they are.
They are. Okay. I'll save that example for the very end. It was just one on feedback. That's a really good example, but the leader was really resistant, but she had a concrete example. And so I'll just, when we're done the session, I'll just finish the story, because I don't want anyone hurt through the story because it's a learning thing, right? Something like that. Okay, so I think we've given a few tips. We've talked about a few things. But you know what? We'd actually like to prophesy over a couple people while we're here. And so it'd be good to prophesy over maybe a person who did not go for ministry yesterday. A few people didn't go for ministry. Okay, so... And you didn't? No. Okay, so we're going to have Jen, Glenn, and myself. We're going to each pick somebody else. Just, we've only got like 6 minutes left or something. So just for fun, we're just going to prophesy. But also, it's just an atmosphere while we're in the prophetic. And I believe that words of encouragement go a long way. And I also believe that the Holy Spirit doesn't waste opportunities. So let's just do that. Jen, do you want to start? Have you got somebody picked out? I think you do. Awesome.
How do you want to do it? Do you want to bring them up to the front and we can lay hands, or
you can just walk over and speak the word.
Oh, we're not all doing it together.
No.
Oh.
No, we're each choosing one, and we're only doing. Okay, this would be. This is not the 10-minute prophecy. This is just two minutes prophecy.
Okay, I'll do my best. Okay, well, I just really sensed sitting over there this morning when that word was spoken, the pioneer spirit, that the Lord is putting in you a pioneer spirit in the elements of prophetic ministry and taking these elements home. And I really believe that the Lord is saying that he wants to impart on you, especially words of knowledge, that you're going to build prophetic teams that are going to have a lot of insight into the people who come into your church who are being... what is the word? I want to say traumatized by the demonic. They're being traumatized by the demonic. Anyways, the Lord is going to give you insight, and he's going to give you knowledge and even names into the spirits that are traumatizing these people. And through the prophetic, you're going to be able to take authority in Jesus' name over the spirits, and they're going to be delivered quickly and efficiently. And you're going to actually believe that the Lord is going to give you insight right to the root of some traumas, right to the root of some deep hurts. Also that the Lord wants to use you prophetically through the lens of evangelism. As these people come in and you call out the spirits and you call out some of their roots of trauma, the next step is that the Lord is calling them into relationship with him. That these people aren't supposed to come in and just be set free from the demonic or set free in their healing, but they're supposed to come in, be set free, and then come into the fold of the church, come into the fold of the flock. And I believe that the Lord is going to really use you as a pioneer in this. He's going to establish you. He's going to ground your feet. But also your responsibility in it is to seek teaching. Diane's teaching is great. There's also a lot of teaching, great teaching. He wants to equip you through the Word, reading the Word, reading how, watch how Jesus did it, and do that, and do what Jesus did. And I'm just so encouraged to say to you that he is placing an authority over you through the Holy Spirit, where you're going to be able to look these people in the eye and say, I take authority over this spirit in Jesus' name, and they will be delivered immediately. And so, God, we just thank you for releasing that prophetic over her today.
Adam, I'm just going to speak this word over you because I know that we were with Keith Hazel at one time, traveling with him, ministering, being trained by him, but I just am feeling like you're one generation younger than I am, and I just am feeling like there's a commission over you with just to take some of those things you learned and to take some of that gifting, because I feel like you're going to be more effective in some generations than I am, and there's a continuity that the Lord is speaking to you about because there's a mantle over you. I also feel like I want to break just a word where the enemies come to you and talked about wasted years. I just want to rebuke that. Because I just feel in the acceleration of how God does things, in restoration, there's no wasted years.
And I just feel like even at this conference, there's just a new fire that is just coming forward in you. But I'm just wanting just this assurance to go to you that you have what it takes. You've got every gift that you need, but you're an encourager. You've got prophetic eyesight to just see when and where. But that encouragement gift is just going to flourish in you, Adam, to break down a lot of walls and bring people into a lot of freedom. We just want to break in condemnation and just come against any lies that feel like you've missed opportunity. I just want to come against that in Jesus' name. You know, I just feel there's just such a need these days in the Holy Spirit to be advertising to people. You know, we represent a second chance God.
That's
he
right.
is a second chance God, and that's what we have to offer.
Amen.
I'm actually just going to skip across here for both Arnold and Larry in the sense of I just feel like there's just some areas where the enemy has put a ceiling over your capabilities, your giftings, and I feel like there's just a time of just needing to be released, and it comes from that sense of the fatherhood part in seeing younger ones raised up and being able to just speak words of vision, destiny. Larry, particularly with men, I just feel like God's positioned you to be able to speak some fire into them. I think you recognize ones where the fire's gone out and God's saying, I'm putting a torch in your hand, and he's wanting you to start those fires. Arnold, I feel like earlier in life, there was maybe God has really taken you on a path where you've had to be refined. I think your speech had to be refined. Your mannerisms had to be refined.
Yes, Lord.
But that's done now. You've learned some of those things, and I just feel like God wants to release you just a new effectiveness, to really represent him well in the kingdom. Both you and your wife are prophetic. Both you and your wife have a heart for longevity. I feel like you are really good with people that need second chances, and God really wants to commission you to just give all that you need to in that area. And Cheryl, I know I'm not taking taking your turn, Glenn, but I just feel like I want to do that. Cheryl, I think you're juggling so many balls many times. It's like which one do I need to grab onto? But I just feel God saying, you know, you are a leader that is really tasked with a lot of reproduction, a lot of multiplication. And so I've seen this area. Yes, you're prophetic. Yes, you're a prophetic worshiper. But I'm just seeing that God is actually calling you to take your prophetic gift, but to release it to raise up ministries in other areas. So maybe you're not an evangelist, but I feel like you're going to equip the evangelist. Maybe, yes, you are an intercessor, but even those that are going to go further than you, but you're going to be the one to give them the start, to get them going. God's shown you ways of different individuals that can take things and run with them. And so your life is going to become more like a conductor than it ever has. And I feel like you almost need to take some pressure off of yourself, where you feel like you've got to be the doer all the time, because I feel like God's calling you to be the maestro, to be the conductor, to just really call out the different ministries and just to let them flourish as they go forward in that call. So you're taking your prophetic anointing, but you're releasing it into different ministries, particularly the fivefold ministries that are going to come forward. And, you know, I just, there's others in the room. I'm just going to speak in general. I'll just shut the door here for a minute. In the room, who in the room is doing some prophetic training or has ideas that they want to start some prophetic things? So we've got a few people here for starting prophetic training. And what about you? You work with Neil?
I work with Neil.
Yeah. So have you done some of the training?
We have.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah. Put your hand up. Anyway, I just wanted to just give this word because I actually feel that the enemy is trying to really put like a wet blanket over people that in their heart they feel like they want to start or they want to go further, but the enemy is really putting the wet blanket, trying to bring about inadequacies, thinking these are weaknesses in your character, but just to recognize that the Holy Spirit wants you to step over top of that. And part of the reason that we're even together, I think, as a network, is that we can have more strength one to another. Because when you're out in your town or in the place where you are, you can feel so isolated sometimes. And I just feel like God's saying we need to reach out to one another. And we LifeLinks is a network. And so we want to be able to strengthen and speak into one another's lives. And we'll just see how the Holy Spirit will give opportunity for that. But part of the leadership that God's calling me to, it's my job. It's my job to really see us be able to pull together. And so I feel dedicated to you guys. I do feel dedicated. So don't hesitate to call on us, right? Glenn, did you want to prophesy?
Yeah.
And then we'll go for lunch.
Well, can I do two people?
Okay. I mean, if people feel they want to go, that's fine. But do two people if you guys don't mind.
Okay.
We're just in a lineup anyway.
Okay. I feel the work for you is again, like I think it's been the theme of second chances, second opportunities. I feel that maybe there have been things that have happened in the past where maybe you said no to, or maybe things that just didn't materialize the way that you would have hoped or that you would have even anticipated. And maybe it's almost been like this shame or like, did I miss you, God? Did I miss that opportunity? But I feel that God, you did not miss that opportunity. This was a growing season. This was an opportunity for you to see me work in a new and different way. I think that you've gone through a season. I think you've been going through a trying season maybe the last little while, maybe just kind of, just things in life just haven't maybe transpired where you thought they would have. Mm-hmm. But I'm just reminded of the scripture that all things work together for those in Christ Jesus, through God in Christ Jesus. You know, just everything that you've been through has been kind of almost like a momentum to where he has you even right now. And I feel that there's new opportunities coming. I feel that your voice is being raised up to a new level.
Yeah.
I feel there's an authority that is being planted upon you, that you're going to say something that's like, where did that come from? I think that naturally you're very level-minded, natural voice person, but when the spirit that's within you rises up, it's almost like you have the power, you have the ability to have demonic strongholds crash down, strongholds be broken in Jesus' name. And I feel that, I think you spoke over early about your art, you know, I just feel like God is going to open up opportunities and doors that you never thought would have been opened up before.
Good.
And I actually feel it's going to be your art that's going to be the ticket to people coming to know Jesus. I actually see you as someone who's going to go into, almost like when Gianni was saying about being in a trade show of like, you know, all of witches and demons and all that. It's almost kind of, you're going to be in that setting where you're surrounded by all of these, you know, psychics or mediums or whatever, but your art is going to be the light that is going to draw people in. And so I just feel that these are new opportunities for you, new days for you, of just really being released into the gifting, into the calling that God has placed before you.
Can I add?
Sure.
I'm glad you did that because, Eileen, the Lord was also speaking to me for you as well. And what he just impressed on me is the word that you're not second fiddle. You're not second fiddle, and that your voice is important. And I confirm what Glenn was saying is that the Lord is calling your voice to rise. The word I heard was rise up, child. It's time to rise up, child. And I had an image of you actually standing in front of your artwork in a gallery and amazed. You were amazed at the work that came out of your hands because of what God had moved through you. And beside the image in the gallery, I saw a prophetic word written out. And I believe that as people come and as they see your art, the heart of God is going to be deliberate and cut through like butter. It's going to slice
and people are going to, there's a great book, it's called Gospel Fluency, and I heard that over you, through your art, there's going to be gospel fluency, that people are going to hear the name of Jesus, they're going to have hope in his salvation, they're going to have hope in his love and in his power through looking at your artwork. And there's going to be power in the description beside your artwork. And so when the Lord speaks, be bold, rise up, and put those words beside your artwork, and then be prepared to lead them to the feet of Jesus, because the Lord is going to send many through your art.
And Serena, I actually feel that you are actually making a bigger impact for kingdom purposes than you actually realize. I feel that maybe where you are right now might almost be like one of those behind-the-scenes ministries, or those kind of like hidden ministries, you know, that's not up on stage or that's not really in the forefront. But actually, what you're doing, even in the church today, I feel is actually having a major impact for many, many people. And I don't know if you're in the children's ministry, but I just feel that you're impacting a lot of kids right now. I just feel you are almost like intersecting these kids at a pivotal time in their lives, because they're on the path of either righteousness to Jesus Christ or unrighteousness to the things of this world. And I feel that there's a burning and yearning within you to see this generation coming up, rise up for things of purpose, for things of kingdom glory. And I feel God is even saying to you today, rise up and take a firm stand. Pray for these kids. Stand in the gap for these kids. Speak to these kids. And I actually feel there's a prophetic edge that you're actually one who's going to actually use prophecy in drawing kids back onto the right path, or onto the right path. Like, you're going to see something in kids that is going to be like a destiny that God has for them. You're going to see God's plan for them, and you're going to call that out. And I just really feel God wants you to just rise up. I think in the natural, you're a very, quieter person. I think you're a very kind of, I don't want to be boisterous. I don't want to, you know, almost like ruffle feathers. But I feel God is even saying to you, ruffle those feathers. Ruffle those feathers for kingdom purposes. And when you feel a nudging in your spirit, when you feel something rising up within you that you have to speak forth, I feel God is going to just say, open your mouth, and you're going to be wowed by the words I'm going to speak through you, because it's going to be kids. Kids need someone who's going to pay attention to them. Kids who's going to mentor them, or someone who's going to mentor them. Someone who's going to actually, you know, take the time to walk them through life. And I just feel that is who you are. You want to see this next generation come up with power, with might, and God is going to use you, I believe, to just set a whole young generation on fire for kingdom purposes.
Amen. Thank you for coming.
Can I say something?
Sure.
Yeah. It's amazing
Jen.
Yes, what you said. I'm just amazed what God can do. Exactly what she said. The ministry and releasing. Sometimes I'm not confident to release the word of knowledge. Sometimes, like, I'm not sure, but exactly taking authority. I was just talking up to the women how God just wants to raise us to take authority over, especially the people that, you know, are going through trauma, as you said, need deliverances in their lives. That has been happening the last few weeks before I came here. And I stood on, we had a half-night prayer with the women, and I was just encouraging to take authority, and you just used exactly the same word. It's amazing. And just thank God for that. And really, I would like to be connected and learn more on how to do this and have the courage. Sometimes I like the courage to speak.
Yeah, the Holy Spirit just gives you boldness. Amen. Okay, thanks a lot, you guys. You've been great listeners and participants.